Blog Talk Radio.
The All About You show is brought to you in part by Vera Heart Coaching and Mindscape, the art of transformation.
Now this, welcome to a special edition of the All About You show. This is Karen Sullivan, your host. Today is Saturday, October 3rd, 2015, and we are feeling that crisp fall air in the Midwest today, let me tell you. And I have the very distinct pleasure and honor of our special guest tonight. His name is Jim Gerard. And the quick story about how Jim and I connected was through a mutual friend. She was Skyping with Jim, and I had called her, and I just wanted to tell her something really quick, and not knowing that I was involved in her Skype call with Jim, and I just rattled off what I had to say to her. And then I get an email from Jim and Jim, do you mind if I read this email real quick? Jim, are you there? No, we didn't lose Jim. We couldn't have lost Jim. Jim, are you there? Jim?
Jim, are you there?
Where is Jim? Let me see. We have him right there. There's Jim. Jim, are you...
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much. You know, technical difficulties on behalf of the board operator. Thank you very much. I do apologize. But
how's the audio? Does it sound
good?
The audio
is really good. I can hear you beautifully. Now, did you hear my little brief intro about you, about how you and I met?
Yeah, I heard everything.
Okay, good. Do you mind if I read a little bit of this email?
Yeah, go ahead.
The very first reading that you sent me?
Yeah.
Okay, because I think it is absolutely phenomenal that the way that you and I have since resonated with one another, and I'm now learning this method of divination. And I'm very excited about it. And you and I have had a couple of dice rolls, but I have never even spoken with you. You had sent me an email. And I'm looking through my email. And, what's up with that? Maybe it's over here. There it is. And you wrote to me back in September that there are certain people that resonate with me in a big way, and codes come streaming through in readings with their names and several other attributes. As I suspected, I thought you might be one of these people, so I did an experiment to see if that was the case. I threw the dice with a blank mind and didn't ask a question. I got this amazing reading full of universal qualities and insights which I didn't have previously. In fact, this reading is very rare in its nature in the sense that I'm still in the process of decoding it. There doesn't seem to be any end to it. I would say that the basic message is that of a spiritual assignment laid out for you in order to put your accumulated knowledge to work to fulfill your purpose. That part is for sure. The other thing is that there are no roadblocks. It's clear sailing all the way through. There may be some small legalities along the way, but nothing major. There are no major negatives like character flaws or impediments of any kind. Thank you for, you know, not thinking I have any character flaws. I love that. At this point in time, all you have to do is basically engage and fulfill your destiny. And here's the reading. Karen Sullivan embarks upon heartfelt spiritual voyages and journeys of insightful perceptions of inner vision and self-discovery. The archer's arrows of the oracle decodes in the reading point in the direction of great fortunate revelation. The clocks of time are tilted in the direction of sacrificial invocation, adeptness, and the presence of angels and ascended masters appearing in the spectrum to be of some assistance. She is the truest of all centered spiritual seekers on this journey into eternity. Her destiny signature is to retrieve the lost writings of the ancient ancestors and repair the future timeline by inspiring the exodus of spiritual righteousness as in the time of Moses. She must not quit this endeavor, as the time clock of humanity's destiny has been almost lost because of murder, closed hearts, a sense of degraded moralities, selfishness, and the greed that is locked into a stranglehold by the dream killers. Stay centered and enter this portal of spiritual endeavor as the ascended masters provide guidance and direction. The clocks of destiny and time must be restored to their original and natural position in the stream in terms of the alignments of the past, present, and future. The great influencers of Jupiter and Mercury, fortune and transcendental knowledge are responding to the needs in accordance to the truest destiny of humanity. It descends in spirals of unraveling the passages of the lost writings of our ancient ancestors that are to be seen by the populations that need to see it. This assignment is yours and yours only. And when I read that, I was kind of blown away.
Well,
having never met you, never talked with you, and then you just felt some sort of connection through the ethers and through the dice, and so this, you know, I hold in very high honor this reading that you did, and so I bought a set of dice, and this is a very simple but complex way to get messages from your higher self or ascended masters or, you know, whatever anyone wants to call it. And how did you come to create this method?
Well, there's a video on YouTube where these researchers were studying the Bible code. I don't know if you're familiar with the Bible code, but there's a method of it's a computer program that makes words through anagrams by connecting letters. And these researchers were trying to prove that the Bible code was a hoax. So what they did was they took the book Moby Dick and they ran the Moby Dick book through a computer program. And they asked questions, and they got predictions and answers, and they said, oh, look, we just proved that the Bible code is a hoax because we did the same thing with Moby Dick. But I thought what they actually did was they only proved that if you had hundreds or thousands of letters to pick and choose from, that you can get answers and predictions.
Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal to me. Because you could do that with any book and run it through a computer and get any messages, basically. But what you've created is something a little more personal in nature and without having to have a computer program to run a whole book through. So
exactly.
Right.
So for example, when you throw the dice and then the letters are decoded, that's a reading for you from your higher self.
No.
So, you know, when I saw this this thing on YouTube and what they were trying to do, my idea was it seemed to me like the letters that are written in the Bible are in fixed positions. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to access letters that were fluid.
Okay, so describe what you mean between fixed and fluid.
Okay, let's say you do a tarot card reading.
Sure.
You turn up a card, and that card has a fixed meaning. So in other words, either you know the meaning or you look it up in a book.
Right.
So each card has a fixed meaning.
Right, like the death card, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to die, but, you know, maybe old habits or old ways of being, and you're clearing out a path for something new to come in.
Right.
Death of the old to make way for the new. Right.
Right. So, but the thing about the dice that are on the letters, you know, the first thing is that you have it in your hands and then you release it.
Right.
And when you release those dice, there's no way that you can manipulate the way that they land. And so it becomes fluid.
Got it.
Okay. But now each one of those letters has no meaning at all. But it does have meaning if the letters are next to each other and they connect and they form words. So, you know, when I bought the Bible CD, I remember paying $74 for it. And when I asked the question, you know, for one thing, I had to have a computer. That was one thing.
Right.
And then I had to buy the CD. That was another thing. But then I found out that there was no translation from the Hebrew to English.
And he didn't obviously know anybody that spoke, you know, traditional Hebrew, so... You know, that was kind of a waste of $74.
Yeah, not in the neighborhood I was living in.
Right.
So I threw the CD in the trash, but I, you know, continued my interest in divination and everything. But when I saw that video on YouTube where these guys were trying to prove the Bible code was a hoax and I got that idea, that was very exciting. Because now, see, what I wanted to do is I wanted to have the letters in my hand. Okay? Now, that meant that if I could access those letters myself, and if I could form a science of divination, that means I can give the Bible code to other people.
Right, right.
I'm
sorry?
Yeah, there's a personal connection between myself and the people that learn it.
Right.
That's the thing that it adds. It adds a dimension of, you know, there's a personal element there, where, you know, instead of just you and I talking to each other like on the phone, we actually start communicating in a telepathic sort of manner. But it's not voice and mind; it's higher self to higher self.
Correct. Correct. And you know there are. I don't know. I know more and more people, put it this way, I believe more and more people are becoming aware that they are an energy being, you know, that at their core, that's what they are. And I've mentioned this before on the show, when you're angry and you cook, all of that anger goes into that food and that food tastes really, really, really bad, you know.
That's right.
But you can carry, like the how the gratitude stone came into fruition was, you know, a gentleman just found a pond rock, you know, and he would carry it with him everywhere, and it kind of like takes your energy, and you become one with the rock, and then he would take it out every night, and you know, say what he was grateful for, so on and so forth. And somebody had asked him one day what this rock was, and he explained to them what it was. And this gentleman lived over in Africa and wrote him a letter and said his son was really sick. Could you send us some gratitude rocks? And by that one gentleman believing in the energy that the rock held, he just sent them a whole bunch of just stones. You know, he told the man that they were just stones, and the man wanted them anyway, and they sold them, and they raised money to help his son get better. But the point is that any time that you, you know, hold something, you're putting your own energy essence on top of it.
Yes.
Right? Some people would say that about antiques. That, you know, that they won't buy antiques because of the energy of the person who held it, you know, who had it before, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I resonate with the dice, because it's the same thing in tarot cards. You're putting the energy into the tarot card, you know, or the runes, or however, you know, you're going to do divination. And, you know, so it is a higher level consciousness to consciousness. It's how you know when you're thinking about somebody and the phone rings and there they are, right?
That's right.
Or you're thinking
about
a song and it comes on the radio, that type of thing. So for people who, you know, may be listening going, you know, well, that just sounds like New Age poo-poo stuff, it really isn't. There's a true science behind it. And, you know, so I want to make that just very clear that, you know, what you know, this and it's just, it's amazing what you've done. And I would love it if you would continue with your story on how you started with these dice.
Okay, so the next idea that I got was, you know, my question at that point was, how do I get the letters?
Right.
And the only thing I could think of was regular dice that have, you know, 1, 2, up to 6. So for some reason, the number 5 kept going through my mind. And I was in Boston at the time, so I went to five different stores. The 5th store that I got to was a CVS, and they had 5 dice in a package for $2. So what I did was I wrote out the 26 letters of the alphabet, and I added 4 more letters because I had 5 dice, and there's 6 numbers on each dice, which is 30. So I needed 30 letters. So I added the 4 letters at the end of the alphabet, and I threw the 5 dice 18 times. I would get roughly 80 letters from that. And I had to decode, you know, like 1 is A and 2 is B, and, you know,
right.
It would take me half an hour just to decode the numbers into letters.
Right.
But what happened in the very first reading was the message from that reading was, ask Joe to aim a hot bid. And the Joe was spelled J-O, which is kind of like a slang word, which means, you know, like he's a good Joe.
Right.
But I knew that the word Joe was a reference to this guy named Kevin. And Kevin was coming around, and he was telling everybody in the building, you know, invest your money in this, you know, you'll make a good profit. And he was always talking about money. So when I saw the sentence that said, ask Joe to aim a hot bid, I knew that this was about Kevin. So I called Kevin on the phone. And when he answered the phone, I said, Kevin, you're not going to believe this. And the first thing he said to me was, I was just thinking about you. So right there, you know, my first reading to get that kind of a response, that told me everything I needed to know was that
that
synchronistic connection was made on the
right.
very first reading. So I knew I had a method. I knew I had something.
Mm-hmm.
But then for months, you know, I kept going through this, you know, rolling the dice and, you know, decoding the numbers into letters, and it was really time-consuming, you know. So I started thinking about the Scrabble tiles, and I went to a flea market, and the guy that there was, his name is Steve, he says to me, I don't have Scrabble, but I have Boggle. So I said, what's Boggle? And he pulled out this Boggle game, and it turns out that the dice had letters on them. So, you know, I thought I died and went to heaven.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought I died and went to heaven.
Exactly.
So here's the dice with letters on them, and I never knew about this game. And so, you know, there was 25 dice, so I would roll 25 dice 5 times, get 125 letters, which was, you know, an improvement over 80, because the more letters you have, the more words you can make. And then I spent 3 years doing readings every single day for 3 years until I had it perfected. And then I started seeing videos on YouTube of Patrick Flanagan. And he was already a world-famous scientist. And so I sent him an email, and I said, you know, I did a reading for you. Would it be okay if I send it to you? So he wrote back. He said, yeah, go ahead. And in this reading that I sent him, it said, a Porsche goes over the cliff. So I didn't even know if I should send that because I didn't know what it meant. But he read it, and he didn't know what it meant either. But 3 days later, he woke up, and he remembered that he had a friend named Alex that was in a Porsche that went over a cliff.
Oh, wow.
Not only that, but Sai Baba, who is a mystic from
right.
India, appeared in the car as he was going over the cliff and embraced him. And the guy walked out without a scratch, and the car was totally demolished.
Oh, my God.
So Patrick Flanagan writes back to me again, and he says, Sai Baba is sending you messages to send to me.
Nice.
So I talked to him on Skype, and I said, look, you know, I've been wanting to go to Sedona for a long time. And he said, come on now, we'll hook it up. You know, we'll set it up for you and set up a lecture at a restaurant out in the back outside. And he had this girl make a flyer for me. In fact, I think it was one of the things I sent you, you know, for the blog site. And
yeah.
It said Illuminations, and it had a drawing of like a wizard. And when I looked at the dice, the letters that were on the dice spelled out Sedona dice code. And then 7 weeks before I went to Sedona to give my lecture, I asked a question and did a reading, and I said, okay, I'd like to see the name of a person that I'm going to meet when I give my lecture in Sedona, and I got the name Christy. So when I gave my lecture, I stood out in the middle of the crowd, and I said, is Christy here? And she was sitting right in front of me. She's waving her hand. She says, I'm Christy. So I said, well, I came here from Massachusetts to meet you. I got this all on film.
That's awesome.
And then
That's
we did a reading.
Incredible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I gave her the dice. We did a reading. Oh, she did the reading, actually. And it said Aries, Zorro, the dog. And then she looked at me and she said, my sign is Aries, and I was born in the year of the dog. And I said, what does Zorro mean? And she said, my husband dressed up as Zorro at a Halloween party.
Gotcha.
So, you know, at that point, this is all drawn out on a big sheet of paper with magic markers, so the letters were quite large. And, you know, we did it that way so that the people in the crowd could kind of, you know, see what we were writing. So I turned around and I showed them the reading, and then I explained to them what had just happened.
Right. That's
and
phenomenal.
Yeah, and this whole thing with Patrick Flanagan having me out there and introducing me and everything, it just put me on the map.
That's awesome. That really is awesome. Speaking of being on the map, if we can take a couple minutes, we have a caller who's been very patient in holding. Would you like to take to speak with the caller?
Sure.
Okay. All right. And let's see if we can bring her in. Hello, are you there?
I am.
Caller?
I am.
Hi, caller. Can you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Trish, and I saw your story. I was reading it online, and I was curious. I was having a little time understanding how it worked, and I was wondering if you can roll the dice. Or how does it work? I'm trying to understand how it works with myself, for example.
I'm not sure if I understand the question. I mean, do you have dice that have letters on them?
I don't. So my question
is there, how long would it take, Jim, if you threw some dice, or did you throw any dice for any callers that may be calling in that you might have a message for prior to the call?
Well, did I tell you about the letter sequence?
The letter sequence.
I don't think so.
I did a 600-letter sequence yesterday to capture the names of the people that would hear my message, and I posted it on Facebook.
Is it on Facebook? Because I can go look right now.
Yeah, it's on Facebook. I posted it yesterday.
Okay. And it's just under your regular Facebook page, right, babe?
Yep.
Oh, I see it right here.
Yeah, it says letter sequence October 2015.
Right. Okay. And I see it. I don't know what any of it means.
Okay, the reason I put that there is to give people an idea of how the decoding works, because, you know, her name is Tricia, so, you know, if she wants to send me an email, like after the program, I can write back to her and tell her whether or not her name is in there. Because I don't know her last name, but if she sends me an email, she can send me her last name. And if her first and last name are in the letter sequence, that would give her an idea of how the decoding process works.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
And then, Trish, I myself, and I'm looking at this to see if I see your name, I myself am just learning how the dice work, and what I do know is you can get the dice from Amazon. They're $10. It's the Campbell's ABC dice, and there's 36 dice in there. And what I do know is you take 26 of them and you throw them 5 times, and then you send Jim your letters. And then he'll send you back a decoded message. And then he does teach this method for free for anybody who has the dice on Skype, which I think is really sweet, you know. And I got a decoded message back, but I have yet to learn how. All I've done is my dice rolls. That's it. But truly, it is a phenomenal way to divine and, you know, messages for yourself. And what was funny about the email that Jim sent was that at that particular time, when he had sent me that email, my husband had just told me something that was just real horrific in the world, and I said, you know what, I'm so tired. I don't want to hear anymore, because there's such greed, there's such corruption. You know, there's people being slaughtered in the street. And it was almost verbatim what Jim had sent to me in the email. And I don't even think that I ever told Jim that. But, you know, that's what caught my attention, was because that was a particular conversation that I had had. And, I have a more utopian view of life, you know. And so when I saw that, I was like, okay, you have my attention, you know, because it was something that was specific to me. And that's why it was, I was like, okay, I have to have these dice. Absolutely have to have these dice.
Okay. Is Trisha still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There's something I wanted to tell you about this method.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Are you interested in learning the method?
Yeah, I may be.
Okay. One thing I want to tell you about that is a lot of people have approached me and tried to learn the method, and they have desires. That's just normal. I mean, you know, your desires are going to come up, and they're going to be fulfilled through the readings, regardless of how you go about it. But the idea about learning the method is that when you're learning the method, if you're focusing on your desires, your focus is going to go towards learning, it's going to go towards fulfilling your desires. But if you focus on learning the method, then you can learn the method.
Don't you do both at the same time?
Eventually you do. But what I'm saying is, like, for example, you know who Sean Stone is?
No.
Sharon Stone?
You know, no. You know, the son of Oliver Stone?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I know who that is.
I know who he is now.
Okay. I taught him the method. But he only went a certain distance. He only did, like, you know, several readings. And the reason he lost interest was because he was focusing on his career and his desires and that sort of thing. And this is what I've discovered, you know, from teaching people this method, is when they're totally focused on their desires, it distracts them from learning the method.
Okay.
So what you're saying is it's you learn the method first so that you can then better understand your desires when they show up?
No, you don't need to understand your desires, because
okay.
your desires come from you, and nobody knows you better than you do. You know, so you don't have to analyze your desires. But those
mm-hmm.
desires are there. You know, everybody has them. It's just a natural flow of, you know, thoughts and feelings. But what I'm saying is, if you focus on learning the method, then you can learn it. And it's very difficult to learn. So what I do is I do the decoding part. So all you have to do is just get the dice and roll them, send me the letters, and I'll decode them.
And so when you say you decode them, there's no question behind them. Are they just giving you the message that you need to know?
No, when I decode, I don't need to know anything. There's no question for me, because all I'm doing is, it's like translating French into English.
Okay.
But it's going to tell you something. See, if you roll the dice, your energy goes into the dice. Your higher self sends a message into those letters. So I decode them, and I send you back the message. And when you read the message, it goes back into your higher self.
Okay.
So if there's any question or anything like that, it comes from you. And you send that question into the dice, and then the answer comes from the decoding.
Okay.
So that was
okay.
Was that your question? Did that answer your question, that you will get an answer to your personal question?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
What is your email?
It's listed on the radio blog site there, revelartist7@gmail.com.
Okay. I'll go back and.
So if you want to send me an email. I'll go to the letter sequence. You know, you don't have to tell me your last name, but if you tell me your last name and first name, I can check the letter sequence and see if your name is in there.
Okay.
And then maybe at some point I can write you an email and say, you know, fourth line down, seventh letter over to the right, or, you know, give you an idea where the letters line up to spell your name.
Okay. Actually, that's a good idea.
And then, Trish, I have his email right here. Do you have a pen?
I do.
Okay. It's Revel Artist, R-E-V-E-L, Artist, A-R-T-I-S-T, 7,
yep.
at
mm-hmm.
gmail.com. And then his web page is Holistic Tech, T-E-C-H, Holistic
mm-hmm.
Tech. .net/Jim.
Okay.
And then that's his website as well. Now, Jim, really quick, are the artwork that you have that I have flowing through the site, are they for sale?
No.
No. They're beautiful.
They can see the I don't get involved in business because I would be spending all my time and energy pursuing money, and I'd have no time for creativity.
Right. Right. I understand.
So, you know, I have to choose between the two, and it's always creativity.
Right. Absolutely.
And, you know, the other thing I'd like to say is if anybody gets a dice and if they want to send me the letters every day, you know, they can do this every day of the week. I don't mind decoding. I find it to be a lot of fun.
Okay. Did you hear that, Trish?
Yeah, I did. And so my question is, I thought you said on your you didn't prefer email. Can someone call you?
Yeah, talking on the phone, I get vibrations.
Okay.
But the email thing doesn't work. You know, if there's no phone call, no Skype or anything like that, it just doesn't work because, you know, I need to feel the vibration to get insights and answers.
Okay. I will do that.
So if Trish gets the dice and sends you an email, you will remember her vibration from... You know, all she has to do is mention the radio show, and you'll remember the vibration, Jim?
Yeah, not only that, I just heard a voice, so it's quite possible in my next reading, even if I just blank my mind out with no questions, a reading for her might come through.
Okay. All right. And then, so, Trish, make sure you email him, because if something comes through for you, that would be awesome that he gives it to you. That he has a way to connect with you to make sure that you get the message. Or you can email me, and I can pass it along. You know, I can be the go-between if you want. But otherwise, you know, just feel free to email him.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Yeah, and then his phone number, too. Do you have that number?
I don't.
Okay. It's 978 534.
Yep.
0313. And then do you have Skype as well?
No, I don't have Skype, but I just saw the area code and he's in Massachusetts. So do people visit you?
It has happened in the past. Yeah, I tried going about it, but the best way for me seems to be through the internet. Unless you're in Massachusetts.
I am.
Oh, how far are you from Leominster?
45 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be interesting.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
Maybe we could set something up, like some sort of way to have a little group and show them the method.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I won't hold you up, and I know I don't want to take the time up, but I will give you a call, and I'll speak to you on the phone, and I'll give you my information, and you can see if my name came up, and then we can talk further.
Awesome.
Or email, whatever's best for you.
I love that. Jim, is that all right with that? Well, is all that all right with you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Well,
yes.
Trish, thanks so much for listening and calling in. I appreciate it. And thanks for your time on hold.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, honey. Bye-bye. All right. That was awesome. I can't wait to see if in fact she is in there. I'm looking at it. Now, how do you go about divining these 600 letters that are on here?
Okay, what I did was I asked the Oracle to send me a letter sequence that would contain the names of the people that were going to come into my life.
Okay.
I've done this many times before. It works beautiful.
Okay.
So, you know, her name may or may not be in that letter sequence, but if it is in there, what this does is it sort of gives people... a way of understanding the process of decoding.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but if they see their name is in the letter sequence, it affects them on a personal level.
Okay, so is it left to right and there'll be names, or is it up and down, diagonal?
It goes every direction you can imagine.
Gotcha. Yeah, because while she was talking, I was looking in all different directions. There's a lot of T's in here, so it is quite possible Trish is in here. So there's a lot of TRs together, too. I can't wait to hear the results of these 600 letters the letter sequence that you did for the show tonight. I think
there may also be some some messages in there in that letter sequence that I haven't decoded it yet.
Oh, okay.
You know, I wanted to do the interview first, and then maybe hear from a few people by email and get their first and last name, and then just sort of go through it and see how it turns out.
Right, right. And for those who aren't listening live but perhaps listening via archive, that offer is still open, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. Good to know ahead of time that if they listen to it on the in the archive version, that they can still connect with you that way as well. So, now you and I had sent you a letter sequence, 526 letter sequences, that again was seemingly endless.
Right.
Why is that?
Well, it's probably because there's a lot of things in your life that have been cleared out, you know, as far as, you know, issues and roadblocks and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know,
I figured it was because I talked a lot.
Well, you know,
maybe,
like I was telling you earlier, you're the only person that's taken an interest in me and what I'm doing. And I really appreciate that in a big way, because I've had 6 radio interviews in the past, and none of these people had any interest in me as a person, really. And I did readings for them.
But see, then that's more for me and lucky me. Because I think this is phenomenal. I truly do. I mean, if you could see my office, I've got oracle cards, I've got pendulums, I've got, you know, books, I've got different types of tarot cards. You know, these are things that, you know, that I am truly, truly interested in. I got divining rods and, you know, you name it, I have it. I'm a big crystal person. I love crystals, you know, of all kinds. And my desk is scattered with them, you know, as are my bookshelves. So you are right up my alley, you know.
Well,
so
let's say this,
and yay for me.
Let's say this Tricia gets the dice and she starts doing readings. So there would be Tricia and then you and then Laura from Montana and somebody else in Omaha and, you know, several other people are doing this, like around the country.
Right.
Well, what happens is there's a domino effect that happens as a result of the mind link. And the mind link is very similar to what they refer to as the 100th monkey.
Okay.
So in other words, you know, the longest time you can imagine, you know, monkeys were picking up fruits and trying to eat it without getting the sand in their mouth. And then one day, a monkey, you know, dropped the fruit in water and realized that the water would remove the sand. And then the whole meaning of the idea of the 100th monkey effect is the fact that other monkeys all over the world started doing the same thing at the same time.
Yeah, you know, there's so much that we don't know, you know, that it would fill volumes on how the interconnectedness, the web, if you will, that connects every living thing on the planet. There's so much that we don't know, you know, and we can speculate and, you know, draw conclusions one way, but, you know, you can get information and, you know, statistics can always be skewed to, you know, the result that you want. However, the 100th monkey, that is not something that can be skewed, because that was something that physically happened, and, you know. So, but, yeah, and I'm hoping Margaret is listening, and she calls in and talks with you, and somebody by the name of Renee, because I thought I saw, when I was on your page, I thought I did see a name, Renee, but in any event. So we, the decoded messages contain instruction on how to prevent the future collapse, get in touch with certain people, and the names of those people is spelled out letter for letter. So what do you mean by the prevention of the future collapse? What does that mean?
Well, let me tell you how this happened.
Okay.
Just like a couple of weeks ago, I got a reading from the future, and it was about a future timeline. But I want you to understand that when I got this reading, like when I threw the dice, I didn't have anything in mind. I wasn't asking a question. I just blanked my mind out and threw the dice. I get this letter from the future, and it says that there's a future timeline, that it's collapsing, that there's these six ascended masters, and it has the names of the people that I need to contact. And as a result of contacting them, the future timeline is prevented from collapse.
All right.
Okay, so I get in touch with these six people. Well, let me tell you about this other time that it happened. There was seven people in the other reading, and one of them, her name is Marla, but in the reading there was only one A, so it was M-A-R-L. So I didn't get in touch with her because I wasn't sure if I should get in touch with her because of the missing letter. So I got in touch with the other six people, and then I did a reading, and the reading said incomplete. So then I got in touch with Marla, and I told her the story about the reading and the future timeline. And then I did another reading, and this reading said mission accomplished.
Really?
So, you know, the thing about this is that the prevention of a future timeline, you don't have to do anything at all. You know,
why is that?
Well, because of the power of thought.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. So when I get this message, all I had to do was just call up these people on the phone or on Skype or send them an email and just say, look, you know, I was instructed to get in touch with you, and that's basically it. It created a distraction, and that distraction changed the line of direction of their thoughts, and that's what prevented the timeline in the future from collapsing.
Oh, I getcha.
See, you know, you don't need a time machine.
No.
Okay.
No, you don't.
That's all Hollywood stuff.
Right.
You can contact the future through your mind. You know, psychics can do it. I'm not a psychic myself. I'm about as psychic as a sledgehammer. But, you know, psychics can do it. And, you know, Hollywood always presents it as a machine that brings you there. But what created the machine? Your thoughts created the machine.
Right.
So why do you need a machine? You can do it through divination.
Right. You know, they say Einstein would quiet his mind and ask his subconscious a question, and when he was stuck in something, and his answer would always come to him that way. The sewing machine was invented that way. They were looking for a way to make it go faster. And the gentleman was having a hard time, and I forget his name, was having a hard time where to put the eye of the needle. And he had this dream with this one-eyed monster chasing him. And he woke up and he understood where to put the eye of the needle so that it was, when threaded properly, or when threaded, it would make the same type of stitch as hand sewing, and that's how that happened. And they say Da Vinci did the same thing, you know, because how could somebody at that time invent a submarine or the first war machine or an airplane, you know, things like that. I mean, he was just a phenomenal individual, and they say that's how that's done. I mean, sports people do it all the time. You know, Tiger Woods is one person who, you know, talks about, you know, focusing in and just seeing the future event, you know, and the conclusion being what it is that he wants. And Coach Phil Jackson, former coach of the Chicago Bears, they did the same thing before every game. And I think they have, I don't know, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they had 6 championships, you know, with him as coach. So, you know, for those who doubt the power of their mind, you know, it's a phenomenal thing that is yet to be fully understood, and you can do these future events in your head and have it, and all you need to do is focus on the end result, and the hows don't matter, just things line up and poof, you're there.
That's right.
You know, and with this DICE method, you know, this is another way of, you know, because when I threw the dice, I, you know, I didn't have any question in my mind at all. I was just focused on putting my energy into the dice and rolling the dice and then reading them left to right to send to you. That was it. That was all I did. You know?
Having a blank mind is the best way to go about it.
Right. Yeah, when you get the monkey mind, all that chatter, you know, it tends to, you know, muck things up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know. So,
well,
interesting.
You're in the beginning stages of a journey.
I am in the beginning stages of a journey, and it's one I really, really want to learn and understand how this works, because I think it's beautiful, and I think if everybody bought a can of dice, you know, whoever created them would be thrilled to have all their dice sold.
Yeah, you know,
one.
I had all of these ideas, you know, a couple of years ago when I started doing these radio interviews that, you know, this would catch on and like a whole bunch of people would be doing this and it would really take off. That never happened. But I think a big part of the reason that it didn't happen was partly because I was really anticipating it, you know, to such an extent. And the other thing was maybe it just wasn't time for that to happen. And maybe it had something to do with the people that were, you know, interviewing me at the time were just there basically for me to be like a sounding board and get the word out there a little bit. But I did manage to meet Laura from Montana a year or so after, you know, going to Sedona. And she really made a big difference in, you know, what I was doing. And we've been talking on Skype now for a year and a half, and she's still doing the dice rolls.
Right. And how has her life changed as a result of the dice rolls?
Well, one thing I can tell you about Laura is that she totally understands the readings energetically.
Mm-hmm.
She totally gets it. I mean, I don't even have to explain to her what the readings mean.
Now, was that something that she intuited, or is that something that you showed her how to do in the beginning, and she just, you know, was a quick learner and caught on like fire?
I didn't show her anything. She had the gift right from the beginning. In fact, the story that she told me was that she was working in a restaurant, and she had this feeling, and she wanted them to pump the interview over the intercom as she was working. And she had never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like you were explaining to me on the phone a couple of days ago, after you got that first reading, after you did that dice roll, that
mm-hmm.
you had this sort of, you know, euphoric kind of experience
mm-hmm.
after reading. Well, I had nothing to do with that. I didn't cause that. That was you contacting your higher self and, you know, sort of tapping into that oceanic reservoir of energy that surrounds, it surrounds you all the time. It's just there. It's a
mm-hmm.
reservoir of energy. And you're
mm-hmm.
tapping into that, and that's where that feeling of euphoria comes from.
Yeah, it felt like I was walking in two worlds, actually, is what it felt like. It was the most unusual. It wasn't a scary experience, but, you know, and I don't drink, but I felt like I, you know, was drunk or something. You know, it was just giddiness, and I don't know, but I cannot adequately explain it in words, but I think the best way is that I was like walking in between two worlds at the same
yeah.
time.
That's what divination is. You know, the word divine is a variation of the word divide.
Mm-hmm.
And divination is the process of dividing the spectrum into two areas so you can see both sides. And then you widen your perspective, and you have more choices.
Right. Exactly. It's like taking the blinders off.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what happened to Laura. Laura went into that sort of euphoria immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's kind of, you know, there's some more to the story. You know, 6 months prior to that, I kept focusing my thoughts on a Sagittarius woman, because Sagittarius is the archer, and they throw arrows out everywhere. And if you know a Sagittarius, they can do that for you. So I put my thoughts to it for about 6 months, and then at the end of the 6 months, I got an email from Lavendar, who's a psychic that runs a Starseed hotline.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to me in the email, yeah, we're going to have you on the program. So the other thing I had in mind was to have met or attracted, let's say, somebody like Laura. And that's exactly what happened. Turns out that Lavendar was a Sagittarius, and Laura was the first person that contacted me. And she felt that phenomenal energy and that euphoric kind of feeling as a
mm-hmm.
result of just hearing my voice on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it developed. And then at certain points in my life when I need to meet certain people, it just sort of happens. Like, I mean, I didn't know that you had a radio program when I was talking to you on Skype through Cynthia.
I didn't even know that we were on Skype.
Right, and that's, you know, that's how things happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's best if it happens that way, because there's no intention involved, there's no expectation or pre-thought or anything like that. You're just, you know, just sort of moving through a conversation.
Right. Yeah, and I was very excited with the information I wanted to share with her. So, and I get excited when I learn something new. And then the next thing I knew, I had an email from you, and I'm like, all right, I need these dice.
you may not understand this, but I really get more benefit from doing these readings for people than they get from me.
Oh, I understand that. I'm on sabbatical currently, you know, but I love doing hypnosis. I'm a hypnotherapist and a life coach, and I love helping people, and I get, you know, I take great joy in standing witness to somebody's, you know, new awakening, you know. So I totally resonate with that statement, you know. Some of my clients might argue that, like I would argue with you, that you don't know how much joy, you know, working with you has brought into my daily scope of reference. And I didn't continue rolling the dice because I didn't want to be a pest to you. But now that I know I can roll them every day, I will roll them every day.
Yeah, go ahead and roll them. I mean, I just enjoy it so much because as I'm decoding, I'm getting, you know, insights. And it's a kind of a mystery, you know, and you're unveiling the mystery.
Mhm. Yeah, well, you know, there's something about, you know, in the metaphysical realm about the veil being lifted, you know, and seeing things for really what they are and accepting them, like people in your life, accepting them for who they are and no expectation, and everything is, you know, it's unconditional. There's no condition. You just remove all conditions and you realize that only you are responsible for your own happiness. You know, it's all a choice, right, that
yeah.
we make on
yeah.
a daily basis. You know, you can look
yeah.
left or you could look right, you know, but if looking ahead makes you happy, look ahead, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I choose, that's how I choose to live, no matter what's going on, you know, and there's been all kinds of monkey wrenches, but I still choose to look at the brighter side of the coin rather wallowing in, you know, anywhere else that, you know, because that doesn't do you any good and makes you feel like garbage. So,
yeah.
you know, it's, you're constantly making choices all day, every day. So
that's right.
Make the ones that make you feel better.
Right.
You know, and then
so,
pretty soon those will be the only ones that you have.
Is there another caller waiting?
No, there is not.
Oh. Well,
there
we
is
can
not.
Continue on.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Yeah, the dice method is kind of like a cosmic telephone.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that is really different about this method is that when you get a reading, you get the day, the week, the month, the year, the street, the town, the country, the state, the names of the people that are going to be involved, the event, the problem, and the solution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you do a tarot card reading, you get something rather, not vague, but general. You know, like a death card means change.
Mm-hmm.
The magician means, you know, initiation, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the meanings that you get from a tarot card reading are very general. Now, if a person is psychic, and if they're really good at, you know, doing tarot card readings, that person can fill in the blanks. And the
right.
psychic can do. The psychic can give you the details.
Right.
But I'm not a psychic, so I need to use a tool. But the tool that I invented gives me all the details.
Right.
In fact, I had 7 earthquake predictions that all came out right on target.
Yeah. You gave me one the other day about Ringo Starr.
That I don't know, because it's kind of, I don't know if that's true. I mean, see, here's the thing. Let's say you get a prediction, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Once it enters your mind, then you've created a possibility of changing that timeline so that it doesn't happen.
Right.
So it's quite possible that, you know, this accident that I saw, you know, coming up for Ringo isn't going to happen, and maybe that's why it came through.
Right. And let's hope that it doesn't.
Well, let's hope that it doesn't, because it's not very pleasant, you know, especially
right.
with people that you admire that are creative and, you know, celebrities and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and wildly, wickedly talented.
Totally.
You know, but there are, you know, there are predictions that when you make them based on whatever is coming through, nothing is ever written in stone, correct?
That's right.
So
another thing that I wanted to tell you about Nostradamus is that, you know, he had to write his predictions in anagram code because, they would have lopped his head off if they had known what he was writing. And I think part of the reason why they were like that was because, you know, back then the mentality was completely different than today. They were much more superstitious. But what I'm saying is they may have caught on to the idea that if you put a prediction out there, it may actually happen because people think it's going to happen.
Right.
And their thoughts make it happen.
Sure. Global consciousness.
That's right. So, you know, I'm very careful about making predictions about the future because I don't want to create something by putting it out there and saying this is going to happen in such and such a year, because if people believe that I'm an accurate predictor,
right,
they're going to actually think that it's going to happen and their thoughts will make it happen.
Right. Well, you know, that's my mentality about the news. Turn it off. You know.
Turn it off. Find something else.
Exactly,
you know.
Because it's a fear monger society, and everything right now is to make you afraid. And there are all these tragic events, you know, that are going on.
Yeah.
But you know, and it's nice to be informed, but to be inundated, you know, over and over and over and over again, you know, that the thing about the television is that it's a tool to relax. That's why people use it. I think Einstein called it the stupid box.
Right.
And a hypnotherapist knows that the television is the best hypnotist on the planet. Because anything, a hypnotist cannot ever, 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 in spite of what Hollywood says, make somebody do something against their will. Not ever. However, when you are watching television and you are absorbed in the story and, you know, then all of a sudden all of the commercials come on for the fast food and you see the fast food often enough, it's like, ooh, I'm hungry. You know, and
right,
you're really not hungry. And then you go find something to eat, you know, and you eat. And, you know, TV dinners were set up that way. You could eat dinner in front of the television, you
yeah,
know, as far as, you know, convenience and everything. But the way that the transmitters work on the television is very similar to the way that we transmit back and forth. So,
yeah,
you know, if you're tuned in to, say, you know, 100.3, you're not going to get the messages on any other channel. You're only going to get the messages on the one that you're listening to, or channel 9, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, the best thing to do is just turn it off. And, you know, and I'm an advocate, you know, for turning off the television just for a week, just so people can go outside and
yeah,
do other
there's
things.
There's a million videos on YouTube, and most of them seem to be designed to try and give you a heart attack.
Oh, nice.
So just don't watch them, or, you know, watch part of it, and if it doesn't feel right, just go to the next one, you know?
Right. Exactly. Well, what I, you know, what used to be at going to a movie theater, and like back in the 50s, they had subliminal messages going through at the drive-in, right?
Yeah.
With the dancing hot dog and the popcorn, and they said, oh, that's outlawed, you can't do that. So they don't do that anymore. But the fact that they were doing it then, you know, at the drive-in, is not to say that it's still not going on right now with the television. And I've read, you know, several different articles, you know, and I'm kind of on the fence on is it, you know, being done still or is it not? But, you know, media knows how the brain works. And when it gets into a relaxed state, anything that resonates with it, you know, it just goes along with, you know, subconsciously. And that's how hypnosis works. If somebody, you know, I used to get calls all the time that said, can you, you know, I want my husband to quit smoking. Can you make him do that? No, I can't make him do that. Does he want to quit smoking?
Right.
No. Well, you know, then there's nothing I can do, you know. I can't make anybody do anything that's against their will. It has
that's
to
right.
be in alignment of something that they're seeking. So, but the you take that same philosophy and you put it to what you're watching on television and just, you know, really shut it off. And look for things that make you feel good rather than things that make you feel afraid. And, you know, people would start being a lot happier. You had mentioned earlier about, you know, and now it's totally gone out of my head about, you know, we made the comment about global consciousness and things like that. And not wanting to create something, you know, to predict something and have it, you know, spread like wildfire and have everybody say, oh, this is going to happen to, you know, possibly cause that. And people can go and Google Washington, D.C. meditation group, and this was about a decade ago, where crime in D.C. was very, very high. And a group of people got together with the intent, meditating, with the intent to reduce the crime rate. And lo and behold, the crime rate started going down. And we're talking about rapes and murders and horrific crimes. They started to be reduced, you know,
was
because they
the
were sending...
the Maharishi effect?
I'm not familiar with the Maharishi effect. What is that?
Well, the Maharishi effect is exactly what you just described. I don't know if they've ever done it in Washington, but they've done it in Iowa, where they've gotten like 4,000 meditators all practicing the mantras and everything and all meditating at the same time. And the level of coherence went up and the level of violence went down.
Right. Then it must be that effect. But could you imagine at a global scale, you know, with people all around the world, whenever, you know, meditating and sending out peace and love, what would happen to the planet?
Well, that's kind of the idea about what I'm kind of trying to do with the DICE method and teaching it for free so that kind of effect starts to happen, but you know it's happening on a small scale, but it's happening already.
Yes, yeah, there are a lot of groups that do like 11-11 meditations, and there's a lot of groups that do 10-10 and 12-12, and you know because the numbers are significant, and I'm a numbers person, and you know so those. You know, 111 or 222 or 444, you know, but I think the point is, and you know, if people just really started to, you know, let go of what was yesterday and look to this specific moment in time, right, and just send love out before they go anywhere, be grateful when they get out of bed rather than, you know, begrudging the fact that they have to get up because the alarm's gone off and now they got to get dressed for work and get the kids off to school and they have to, you know, drive, you know, in bumper-to-bumper to traffic. And they're already setting up their day in such an unusual, you know, unhappy way that it kind of makes for a junk day, you know?
Yeah, that's the whole beehive thing that we were talking about a couple of days ago. And,
yes.
You know, that's exactly what prevents you from having these phenomenal experiences like a deja vu.
Oh, deja vus. What are, you know, what exactly are deja vus? Because I've had them, and I'm, like, almost paralyzed, and I just start breaking out in, like, a massive sweat. What really is a deja vu? Do you know?
Well, let me tell you what happened with this girl I was talking to. She was describing a deja vu, and she was saying that she was 10 years old, and she remembers where she was and how she felt. As she was describing it to me, I had a deja vu. And a couple of days later, it happened to me again. And it happened again, and it happened through an email. It happened through a phone conversation. I started trying to figure out, you know, what was happening. Of course, the idea in my mind was that a deja vu experience can be repeated. And it can be repeated by just simply thinking about it or something like that. But what I found out was that there really isn't any kind of a pattern that makes it happen, but it does happen if you can quiet your mind, you know, get off the treadmill and don't pay attention to, you know, the hornet's nest that's in your brain.
Right. Come out of the hamster ball.
Yeah, exactly. It's when the mind relaxes completely that the deja vu or something similar to a deja vu, like a flash memory or vision, you know, all of these things come from the that phenomenal spectrum. The other thing I found out was this. You had a deja vu in the past and you remember it, okay?
Right.
So the memory is there. And when you think about it, you're pulling up a memory. But one thing that I discovered is that along with the memory is the experience. The experience is buried in your mind along with the memory. And most of the time, you're just pulling up the memory and not the experience. But you can pull both of them up at the same time and have a deja vu by remembering it.
Wow.
And that's what was happening. I was not only remembering the deja vu, but I was pulling up the experience along with the memory.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like an awful lot of fun to me. You know, unless it was a fun deja vu, you know. Being frozen and, you know, it used to happen all the time. And I was like, what is going on? And in my mind was, you know, playing out some scene that I thought I had, you know, had already taken care of before, you know, that I'd already been through before, which is, you know, of course, the term deja vu. But, you know, it would just lock me right there in that moment in time. You know, and it felt like for hours, but probably was only like 15 to 30 seconds, you know. But
yeah,
still enough to, you know, not be considered a fun thing to do. I'd rather learn how to have an out-of-body experience than purposely draw up a deja vu.
Yeah, for me it's just the opposite. Like, If I astral project, I get scared and come back into my body. But deja vu doesn't frighten me at all. In fact, it's kind of pleasant. But you know, you can sort of pick and choose the kind of method that you want to attain enlightenment, you know, for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I can see where that would be a better way to go about it. You know,
see,
but
the problem with a deja vu is because it only lasts 5 or 10 seconds, you really don't get a chance to study the nature of the phenomena that's creating it in the first place.
Right.
So what I found from doing the dice readings is that the amount of time that I'm able to study the phenomenal energy goes from 5 to 10 seconds to half a minute to several minutes.
Okay, could you say that one more time for me, please?
Yeah, the amount of time, you know, as a result of doing the dice readings, the amount of time that I'm given to study the phenomenal energy goes from 5 to 10 seconds to a half a minute to a minute to several minutes.
Oh, okay.
So this way you can actually study that phenomenal energy. You can study the nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you study it, the more you understand it.
Right.
And the more you understand it, the quicker your desires manifest. And they manifest
right.
in a much bigger way than before.
Right.
See, what happens
that,
in a deja vu, you're stepping into eternity. Okay?
Mm.
With it, there's no time in eternity. So
right.
when you step into eternity, you become enlightened for 5 to 10 seconds. But what that does, it scares the hell out of most people because, you know, being in the eternal state doesn't draw you a paycheck.
Well, I'd rather have that euphoric feeling after reading your email and talking with you the other day that I was just, I would rather live like that all day, every day. Because
that's what
that
everybody
was
wants.
Everybody
that
was
wants
awesome.
See, what I'm saying is, you know, forget about the books and forget about the church and forget about the lectures and the organization and the dues and all. Just forget everything. Throw everything in the trash and go right to the source.
Mm-hmm. Yourself.
Yeah, your higher self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that oceanic reservoir of energy is all around you at all times. You just tap into it.
Right, right, right.
All I'm saying really is just, you know, the reservoir is there, it's all around you, and you can tap into it right now.
Yeah, with clients I used to call it the circle of power.
Yeah, there's all kinds of names for it,
mm-hmm.
you know, to call it the Akashic
right.
Record, you know,
mm-hmm.
the heavenly astral realms, the
mm-hmm.
the infinite, the eternal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a million names for it.
Right.
But
oh.
the idea is...
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I didn't mean to
no.
interrupt.
No. I get a question in my head, and before it pops right back, sometimes my memory train takes off without me on it. So, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but I know I do that an awful lot, and I am aware of it and working on it, so I apologize.
Well, I was interested in what you had to say.
Well, I was just going to ask you, you had asked me to send you some photos.
Right.
What did you think of those photos?
I couldn't come to a conclusion about how that colored mist was sort of like, you know, like the face wasn't solid, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that mist was not only behind the face, but it was like partially covering the face at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are my aura photos. You know, so you put your hands on a plate and it measures your energy and the color of your energy. And that's what those were. Those were the aura photos. But did you see the one with my dog?
No, I didn't see that one.
Okay. Yeah, they're on your... They're on your Facebook page. I just wondered what you thought about them because those are some of the most phenomenal pictures I've ever taken. And one looks like reminds me of a Knights Templar almost.
Yeah.
But perhaps it's Odin.
You're saying the effect was created by a machine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aura photography.
Yeah, I'm going to have to study that because there's something
mm-hmm.
about it that I can't put my finger on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aura photography is very old. It's a way to capture what your energy looks like and where you have blockages. It comes from, you know, your wheels, your chakras. And
yeah.
Have you ever looked at anybody and seen like kind of like a glow
Like
you just kind, you know, so that's the aura that you're seeing.
Yeah.
The innermost aura that's closest to the body. But it actually has a beautiful spectrum of light, you know, kind of like a rainbow, if you will. And those that I sent you is what those are, you know.
Yeah.
And and that white light, that's all, you know, high divine energy is what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I sent you those. But the ones that I've captured, the different orbs and the other ones that I posted on your page, I was wondering what your thoughts were with regard to that. Those were, you know, those I like to capture, and they have a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun with those. So, and those are some of my favorites that I put up there just for you. But back to the dice. We have about 3.5 minutes before our time is up, and I can't believe 90 minutes has gone by this quickly. This has been such an enlightening phone call, and I truly appreciate the time, and I appreciate Trish calling in, wondering on how she can learn this method. And I did post a picture on your landing page of the dice I snagged off of Amazon, so people can actually see what it is, because there's all different types of lettered dice, and it's specifically this set of Campbell's, and it comes in a big Campbell soup can, which is hysterical. But if anybody wants to get in touch with you, that your email address is R like Robert, E like Eric, V like Victor, E like Eric, L like Lavender, Artist, ARTIST, and then the number 7 at gmail.com. And your website is holistictech.net/gym. And then phone number is 978-534-0313. And then, do you want to give out your Skype information?
Yeah, my Skype is RevelArtist71.
All right, RevelArtist71. Now, how are you going to let me know about the 600 letters on Facebook?
Well, the letters have been posted.
Right.
So if anybody wants to go there and sort of, you know, look through the letters and try to find their names themselves, they can do that. And if they can't find their name, I might be able to find it myself.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully Trish will connect with you, because I'm interested to hear on what happens. Now, if you take this, I know that there's names in here. You can also decode to see if there's any, look to see if there's any messages in here.
Right.
Right. And will you email that to me or call me with it?
Oh yeah, I'll be emailing you like on a regular basis, because, you know, as people write to me and send me emails, I'm probably going to be finding, you know, more and more things in the letter sequence.
Okay.
You know, as time goes on, you know.
Yes. Well, I know that you say mind is endless, and so I do apologize for that. So, but I will roll some dice, and I will keep my mind blank, roll the dice, and send you 26 letters times 5. And, again, it's been such a pleasure, Jim, having you. Thank you so much for your time, for your knowledge, for your insight, and your super generous heart, because this, what you do for people, I think is very important. And I hope those that need you or that you're meant to connect with you. And I hope they say that they listen to you on the show.
Well, you know, many thanks, too, to Cynthia Crawford for introducing us.
Yes, absolutely. I love Cynthia. All right. Thank you so much, Jim, and I will look forward to speaking with you soon. All right?
Okay.
Okay. You have a great night.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. All right, everybody. That's it for tonight's show. Thanks so much for tuning in. I truly appreciate it. And don't forget, regular show on Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Have a great rest of your weekend.